Dearly beloved, grace and peace to you from God our Creator, from Jesus our Savior, and from the Holy Spirit who gathers us together as God's people. When the prophet Isaiah, good old Isaiah, got up to preach before God's people, he was looking out over a dry land. The landscape was barren and arid. It was a desert wilderness. But more than that, as he looks out, he sees a thirsty and thick-tongued people, yearning for a way through the land in front of them. Catherine and I saw a lot of dry land this summer. If you give your pastor the privilege of sabbatical, then for the next 3 months you have to put up with the slideshow. So these really aren't all of our slides, but we saw a lot of dry land this summer. We mostly traveled when we traveled west and north. And we saw the impact of this summer's drought on fields across South Dakota and further west and across Minnesota. We saw the impact in the mountains, although we were never this close to a fire. It seemed we were followed by smoke in every state we were in, including coming back home. You know how that was this past summer. Thankfully, it's gotten better. We saw drought in all kinds of places. And I didn't know until this summer that there was a severe drought, and then there was extreme drought, and there was exceptional drought. And we got a lesson in that from one of the rangers at one of the parks we visited. This is just the end of August, so you can see it's still bad in a lot of places. And dry places make for thirsty places. At least it impacts the water supply in those places. So this was a tough summer to launch a boat at Lake Powell in the southwestern part of the United States, just a little bit down. And this is a place, as many of you know, where we love to go. This is Coulter Bay in Grand Teton National Park. This is what it looks like about this time of year in most years, and this is what it looks like this year in the same place. A dry land. Well, back in Israel 2,600 years ago, Isaiah knew that the arid climate, the desert landscape where God's people had been living for a long time was not natural. It was not how God intended it. In fact, there are scripture references and historians who go back further than Isaiah, that centuries before Isaiah, that much of Israel was forested. They're thickly forested. The Bible talks about that in other places. Desertification came when one empire after another trampled through Israel, clear-cutting and exploiting the resources for economic gain. Some stories are just really old stories. And now Isaiah says in the lesson Sandy read for us today, the dry land will produce vegetation and flowers. The desert will bloom, so much so that the wilderness will sing for joy at what God is up to. Isaiah is talking about the rehabilitation of the creation, something worth hanging on to in this day when we see more and more the impact of climate change in our time. But Isaiah is not just talking about landscape. He's not just talking about the environment. There are other kinds of dry and parched places, right? And we have found ourselves traveling through those kinds of places in these last months, even years. There's the dry land of the global pandemic. There's the desert of disconnection and loneliness that many of us have endured. There's the harsh, unforgiving landscape of incivility at a level that I don't really recall being so bad as it is now. And rage. If you're not angry all the time, you're not paying attention. We live in this desert. And today, as Pastor Eric mentioned, we in this community find ourselves in an awful wilderness. The wilderness of the tragic death of one of our kids. Alex Coomer's sudden separation from his family and friends and school and his church, Alex was confirmed here last fall, leaves us desperately thirsting for some way through this dry and parched place. If only there was a way to redo the past 48 hours. But that not being possible, then we need to find a way through the hours and the days ahead and to walk with the Coomer family. This valley of the shadow of death is the absolute worst kind of wilderness, a terrible and helpless and heartbreaking place. The prophet promises, it's right here, right in this desert place, right in this dry, parched, thirsty place that God shows up. It's right here. Sometimes God shows up to undo what's been done. At other times, God shows up to bring help and hope into dry places. Places that seemed like they would only ever be barren. And so we hear this morning, say to those who are of a fearful heart, old Isaiah proclaims, be strong, do not fear. Here is your God in this dry place. Here is your God. He will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped, the lame will leap like a deer, the tongue of the speechless sing for joy, for waters will break forth in this wilderness and streams in this desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground, this dry, thirsty ground, will become springs of living water. These dramatic reversals are coming, says Isaiah. Do not lose hope. We meet two examples of the fulfillment of this promise, these promises in our gospel for today. Did you hear the connection between the lesson and the gospel? Jesus meets two people who are trapped in their own kind of desert wilderness. The first is a Gentile woman. She's a foreigner. She's an outsider who has a daughter who is extremely ill. And she approaches Jesus to ask for his help. And surprisingly, Jesus blows her off. Doesn't want to be bothered, it seems, for whatever reason. But this woman of incredibly fierce faith will not take no for an answer. She recognizes that God's expansive, extravagant grace doesn't depend on certain ethnic or any other kinds of qualifications. You don't have to have any. And she seems to change Jesus' mind about his mission. That's a whole nother sermon. She's remarkable. And Jesus then gives her what she asked for and pours out living water into this little girl of hers, and she is made well. The second desert dweller is actually brought to Jesus by someone, family members, friends, the other three guys in his golf foursome. I mean, we don't know who they are. All Mark tells us is that they are. They brought to Jesus a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech. And they beg Jesus to lay hands on him. I mean, think about it. How could have this deaf man heard about Jesus on his own? How could he have gone to Jesus to ask for help on his own? And so these family members or friends or whoever they are bring him to Jesus and put him right in Jesus' way, right in the way of the promise, and they make the request, and Jesus puts his fingers in the man's ears, spits and touches his tongue, and then says, be opened, and the man speaks, hears, and speaks. And those who were there, those who were witness, must have said, this sounds like something we heard in the Hebrew scriptures. This sounds like old Isaiah. The promises fulfilled. And eventually in Mark, we will meet the ultimate and complete fulfillment of these great reversals. So Jesus comes healing. Jesus comes to be the embodiment of streams in the desert and water in the wilderness. Those who were thirsty for refreshment and healing were brought to these places. They didn't do it on their own. They couldn't do it on their own. They needed help. And God put those in their lives to make that so. It's another way of saying that as we look at the desert wilderness in which we find ourselves many days, our drought-stricken community and society, it's good to remember that we are the ones we are waiting for. In many cases, we are the ones we are praying for. We are the ones that God will use to bring the parched and thirsty into, right in the way of the promise. Catherine and I warned you about the slideshow. Catherine and I saw a wonderful example of this summer, a surprising example in a place that we didn't expect to see it. So to show you, I need three volunteers, and I will not make fun of you. I will not humiliate, but I need three people to come stand up with me for about 3 minutes. Francis, I know you're always ready to rock and roll, so thank you for being so eager. Okay, Greg and Carly, since you're in the front row, you get to come up too. Oh, Arlene? Well, no, that's fine. Come on up. Come on. Carly will be happy to sit down. So just stand with me for a second. So one of our best hikes of the summer was the hike to Delicate Arch in Arches National Park. Delicate Arch is kind of the iconic arch. You see it. It's on the Utah license plate. It's not a long hike unless you have to park a mile away because the parking lot's full, and that adds 2 miles to the hike, which we thought we were there early enough. And it's not flat or level for very long. It's a fairly smooth trail in the beginning, and then you start to climb. And this is part of the hike. You can see that the ground is uneven, a lot of rocks, and then you get a little bit higher and you come to this. And so this narrow trail walks around this ledge, which made me a bit uncomfortable. I'm not crazy about heights, but this was the way the trail went. And so then you keep going up and around, and eventually you come with, 100 of your closest friends, which if you're in the national park in the summertime, this wasn't bad, actually. But there you can see Delicate Arch, and so you can get a little bit close. We didn't go all the way to the arch, kind of where the people are higher on the left. It was a beautiful day, warm. It's the high desert in Utah, and it was great to sit up there and enjoy the view. But what I want to tell you about is what happened when we came down. So we hung up there for a while. I'm going to go back. Came down the ledge, came down the hill, and it was right about when we got to the bottom, as far the bottom left, so that part of the trail, that we saw this amazing thing. We saw a blind man making this hike. I mean, he was hiking up to Delicate Arch. But here's the way it happened. So you're the blind man, okay? And actually, I'm going to have a because it can work better this way. So Greg, you get in the middle. So the blind man was in the middle. We're hiking this way. And there was a friend, and the blind man had a hand on his shoulder, and the other friend was just standing right behind. I don't think he was touching him. You're not just going to stand with your hands up like this. So all the way up, I just stopped and watched for a while. And I thought, first of all, what remarkable friends. I mean, it's going to take them a long time to get up there this way. But they did. They were walking pretty slowly. And this man was, following his friend. The other was behind in case he stumbled. And I thought, the blind man, how remarkable that you would trust these people so much to be on a trail like this, around the ledge that went like this, to a delicate arch that he probably couldn't see. I don't know those level of impairment, but he would depend on the eyes of his friends to see what they saw and to celebrate in that place. a kind of holy trinity, a snapshot of the church, I think. You guys can go down. Thank you guys for being my guinea pigs. So here we are, crossing the desert wilderness again. And some of us are so thirsty and so tired. How many people I've talked to when we start talking about COVID and say, I'm just so tired. I'm so thirsty. So thirsty for living water at a time when the implications and the fallout of COVID, the anxiety and the fear and the isolation and the divisiveness is just exhausting. I'm so thirsty and I'm so tired. Some of us have been struck blind with anger at others who seem so blind to the great challenges of today. I mean, what are they thinking? Others in our community have been struck blind or lame or weak by failing bodies. Some in this community are so grief-stricken today by Alex's death. Their ears are stopped up. They can't hear. They can't hear the promise. They can't hear the hope. And so they're going to need someone else to get them there, to guide them there. How many of you have heard God never gives you anything more than you can handle? How many of you ever heard that? Okay, get rid of it. Get rid of it. God never gives you more than you can handle in God's church. In God's church. God dreamed the church. Jesus redeemed the church. The Holy Spirit empowers the church so that we make this journey together. And while some are so thirsty and so blind and so deaf, others of us, we have been called to be like the fierce mother who will not take no from an answer, even from Jesus. We are called to be the unnamed they, whoever those guys are, who bring the deaf and mute man, their friend, their fellow synagogue member, who to stand in the way of the promise. We are called to stand in front and behind. And on either side of a family is going through hell. You know, it's why God has brought us together. It's our turn now. What a terrible place to be, stumbling through the barren wilderness of the valley of the shadow of death. Hell is just another name for it. Together. Together we can hold on to hope. The waters will break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert, and the burning sands shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground will well up with living water for us to share with one another. Amen.